Good morning, everyone. There are days of the year where we set aside time to be thankful. This past Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, was one of those days we do that. I would want to suggest to you that one day a year is not enough. We just were led in a prayer that thank God for the blessings that He's given us. We thank God regularly, or should thank God regularly, for the things that He has done for us. And so I'm thankful for you today. I'm thankful that you're here, that you have chosen to worship together this morning. Those of you that are visiting with us, those of you that are here regularly, I'm thankful that you're here. We've done those things so far this morning that should have been done in spirit and in truth. We've worshiped our God together. We could have stopped for that part, but I'm also thankful that we're able to worship together the way that we have. I think about this in terms of thankfulness, and I think about our lives as children of God, that we should be developing an attitude of gratitude. You think about Thanksgiving Day and it having come and gone for another year, that day that has been a holiday in our nation for a very long time. I was watching a YouTube video the other day, a live stream about something, and it was on that particular day, Thanksgiving Day. And the person that was talking about it lived in Sweden. He said, it's not Thanksgiving Day here. They don't observe Thanksgiving. It's not something that's observed worldwide. It's something that's basically unique to our nation, something that our nation celebrates as a holiday, but not celebrated everywhere. I got to thinking about that, and I got thinking about what happens on social media every year. The month of November rolls around, and all of a sudden I start seeing these day one, I'm thankful for this. Day two, I'm thankful for that. 30 days of Thanksgiving in the month of November. And again, I'm grateful that those individuals have done that and decided to do that, but I want to make a suggestion. They need to be grateful like that 365 days a year, not just 30 days a year. It's good to be reminded about our holidays, but I believe that gratitude is a subject that needs to be discussed in the Bible. But I want to read something to you here real quick. This is a list that I found of 40 things. I'm not going to read all 40, okay? But I want you to listen to this, and maybe you'll notice something that's missing. And I don't know that it was the author's intent to overlook this. It may have been implied that they were thinking about this, but as I'm reading it, I didn't notice that. The very first thing on the list, keep a gratitude journal and add to it every day. What would be number one on your list? Thank God every day, shouldn't it? And that may be implied in this list, but then tell someone you love them and how much you appreciate them. Notice the beauty in nature each day. Nurture the friendships you have. Good friends don't come along every day. Smile more often. And those are things that we can be grateful for. You know, there's one in here that says, call your mom more often. You know, cook meals with love. Think of people who you will feed. Don't gossip or speak badly about someone. Spend quality time with your kids. All of those things are wonderful things to be thankful for. Add to your gratitude list daily at least one more thing each day. And what they're implying there is make it something different. Don't make it the same thing that you're grateful for every day. Commit to one day a week when you won't complain about anything. I'd be grateful if I could do that more often than that. I'd be grateful if I could do that. Well, you asked my wife about it. I'd be grateful if I could do that driving down the highway and not complain about other drivers. Reward effort. If someone does something nice for you, do something nice for them. Meditate with your gratitude list, giving thanks for all your good fortune. Live mindfully, not worrying about the past or future. And I could have gone on and on reading that list, but it's something that when I looked at it and was reading it, the question that came up in my mind is not only is gratitude a Bible subject, I think about the words that we use often. Words like thanks and thank you and thanksgiving. And not just the word thanksgiving for a holiday, but the word thanksgiving as it appears in the Scriptures. About 128 times within the Bible, we hear those words being used. We're told to give thanks. The Apostle Paul is constantly giving thanks for the brethren as he's writing epistles to them all the time. It's a Bible subject. It's something that we should probably not just simply have ingrained in our minds, but something that should be a part of our daily activities. Something that should be so much a part of our lives that it's not just habit, but it's something that we look forward to doing. Especially going to our God in prayer and thanking Him for the blessings of life, thanking Him for brethren, thanking Him for family. And I think about that, and gratitude is definitely a Bible subject. But are we showing our gratitude? Think about the culture that we live in right now. You know, I would say, this is a broad brush statement. I know that it doesn't include everybody. But it does appear it's something that is lacking in society today. Cindy and I had a family in our home last night. We were helping our son rehome a dog. And this family came into our home to see if they wanted to take this puppy home with them. And they have a little boy that's 4 years old. And a mom, and I was impressed with this. This is why I'm bringing this up. This wasn't originally part of what I was going to talk about. This mom, as they're walking out with the dog in their arms, tells the four-year-old, said, "You need to tell them thank you." And so he walks up and hugs Cindy and says, "Thank you." He does the same for me. We're not, many people in our society today are not teaching their children this form of gratitude. We're living in a society that believes everything is owed to them. That we've earned everything without ever doing anything, and we don't show gratitude. The words thank you do not come out of our mouths as often as they should. And I think about this, and I see that we need to truly be thankful to God. See, our lack of gratitude, I believe, has spawned that type of attitude that people think that it's owed to them. But the lack of gratitude also leads to other things. Not only does it lead to an attitude that says everything is owed to me, but it also leads to an attitude that produces many evil thoughts in our own minds. In Romans chapter 1, you look beginning at verse 18, and you begin seeing how that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. But you go reading through Romans chapter 1, beginning there at verse 18, and you see how one of the things that they did is they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. That's verse 23. And you drop down toward the end of the chapter, and you start seeing things in verse 28. "And even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not befitting." And talks about sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness. As Paul is listing these things, it sounds very much like the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. But he talks about covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Now think about those things. Everything that was listed right there. Have you ever thought that a lot of those things exist because we are not grateful for what we have? That they can be spawned from ungratefulness, not being thankful for the things. Because look at it. It goes on. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Life, if we are truly blessed, and I said this to a waitress here the other day. We were joking around. We knew her because she waits on us all the time. She joked around and said, and because I was giving her a hard time about ignoring me, she said, "Oh, you're awesome." I said, "No, I'm not awesome. I'm blessed. God is awesome. I'm just blessed." And is that the attitude that we have? If we go through life realizing how blessed we are, blessed because we are children of God, blessed because we have brethren who are there and are of like precious faith, blessed because God has put these people in our lives, but are we telling God thanks? Are we mindful of the thankfulness that we should be demonstrating to God for these things? So are we showing gratitude toward God? Because when you think about it, what does gratitude do? If it's a necessary part of our lives, gratitude does one thing: it humbles us. How does it humble us? Well, let's put it this way. Sometimes when you're saying thank you, you have to remove the ego from your life, don't you? What is one of those things that keeps us from showing gratitude is our being puffed up about ourselves. Remember the old song that said, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way"? That's ego that keeps us from being humble. It's the same type of ego that, when we think about it, keeps us from being grateful. And let me suggest, gratitude reminds us that there is one greater than us. Go back to Acts chapter 17, the text that was read a little earlier. Because it's here in Acts chapter 17 that the Apostle Paul at Mars Hills reminds the people that he's speaking to about our Creator. When you go back to verse 24, it says, "God who made the world..." And actually, let's go back to verse 22 for just a moment. "Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, 'Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I found, even found an altar with the inscription 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you." And he begins and he talks about the God of creation. God who made the world and everything in it. "Since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. But our God, he is the one," he reminds us of the one who is greater than us. The one who with the spoken word can bring all things into existence. The one who with the spoken word, if he chose to, could make things cease from existence. But what he has done as our Creator, he's placed us in a world that we can live, where we can be blessed, where we can serve him. And Paul, as he is addressing these people, is telling them about a great God. One that they worship in ignorance. One that today we're not worshiping in ignorance, we're worshiping out of faith. Because we believe that he is the God of creation. We believe that when we go back to Genesis chapter 1, we see him in the beginning. And so Paul takes those men back to them and lets them know, "And he has made from one blood," verse 26, "every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord." Creation is here for us and provides us the opportunity to do that very thing, to seek God and to be able to seek him and find him. Not for him just to be some mysterious unknown God, but for us to be able to seek him and find him and show gratitude toward him. Thanksgiving Day should be every day. How do I know that? Well, real quick, three scriptures, 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 34. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Oh, there's a lot right there that you could probably preach a sermon out of that one verse all by itself. Just the fact, give thanks to the Lord. Be thankful to Him. Why? Because He is good. Well, we know that because He's good in His creation. He saw everything in His creation. And what did He say about it? It was good. Why? Because He is good. But He is also merciful, and that mercy endures forever. The psalmist says in Psalm 75 and verse 1, we give thanks to You, O God. We give thanks for Your wondrous works. Declare Your name is near. That declare Your name is near. Think about this. We give thanks to You, O God. We give thanks for Your wondrous works. Declare that Your name is near. And what that does, and what Paul was trying to describe to these people in Acts chapter 17, was that this unknown God was not someone who was aloof, not someone who was so far away that He could not be found, not someone so far away that He was near to them. And then in Psalm 119 and verse 62, at midnight I will rise to give thanks to You because of Your righteous judgments. Now how many of you arise after you've gone to bed at night and stop and pray? How many of you arise at midnight? If you're like me, sometimes you don't go to bed until midnight. But think about this. How often do we stop to give thanks to God? How often do we do that? So for a moment this morning, just pause and consider some things. This creation of ours. I've seen through the camera lens of a cousin of ours, parts of the world that I've never thought that I would see before. I've seen pictures from Iceland here recently that are just awe-inspiring. You like waterfalls? Iceland's got some waterfalls. You like green landscape and mountains? Iceland's got it. Hot springs? They've got those too. And it's just an amazing, you think about God's creation, you go back to Genesis chapter 1 and you look at the 7 days that are described there and you see what God creates on each day and you see at the end of each day God saw that it was good. And what He has done is He's placed man here in this wonderful third rock from the sun, whatever you want to call it, this blue marble that we live on, to tend to it, to care for it, but as a reminder to us who He is. I thought the first time that I saw the Rocky Mountains in my life, I was going to cry. Because I hadn't seen anything like that. I've been to the Atlantic, I've been to the Gulf, I've never been past the Rocky Mountains, but the first time I drove up the east side of them, I was spending more time looking at the mountains than I was the highway. Lucky we got through Colorado when we did. Some of you have experienced the Grand Canyon. Think about God's creation and what He has done to it and what He has given to us. And we need to be thankful for it. And we show our gratitude how? By taking care of it like we should. But I think about that in those terms. And I think about the Apostle Paul says that in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ in Jesus concerning you. Yet we should be grateful for God's creation, because without God we have no life. In Psalm 33 verses 6 through 9, the psalmist records there, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. But not only am I grateful for His creation, but we should also be grateful for His love. We are thankful to God for life. Acts chapter 17, verses 24, or 25 and verse 28. But I'm also grateful to God for for His love. I think about John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world. And when John says, for God so loved the world, it wasn't that He was simply talking about all of His creation there. He was talking about one specific part of His creation. He was talking about man. Because man was the one that was in need of saving. Man was the one who had sinned. Man was the one who fell short and broke fellowship with God because of sin. And so God loved them so much that He sent His only begotten Son into this world. There is so much to be grateful for when you think about this and you think about His love and you think about what that sacrifice meant, because that sacrifice meant that His mercy would endure forever. Go back to Psalm 136 for just a moment in your Bibles. Turn to Psalm 136 and let's read it together. Because it is there that the psalmist pours out this thanksgiving to God for His enduring mercy. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, or to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. To Him alone who does great wonders, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who laid out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endures forever. I'm not going to read all 26 verses. But do you see a resounding theme of thankfulness in that psalm? Because you read on down and down through verse 11, you hear His mercy endures forever. Verse 13, His mercy endures forever. 14, 15, 16, 17. Throughout the whole psalm, each verse concludes, for His mercy endures forever. The love that He demonstrated in sending His Son into the world was full of that mercy. Because He was showing mercy to man who did not deserve that mercy. Let me just go back here a minute. I switched things here, and I'll get back to that slide here in just a minute. But His grace and mercy are combined in His love. His inspired Word is part of that. But that grace has been revealed to man. When you look at Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Are we thankful for that? Are we thankful for His creation, His love, His mercy, His great, and for the Word of God that is inspired, that can make us complete, so that we do not have to fall short in anything? When I think about what Paul says there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that inspired Word of God that is profitable for correction, instruction in righteousness, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, is so that the man of God may be complete, so that we, the ones that He sent His Son into the world for, can have fellowship with Him at all times. And so, are we thankful for that grace that brought salvation to the world? That salvation that is seen in Jesus Christ is revealed through Him. You go back to John chapter 1, in Him dwells grace and truth. And when He came into this world, He revealed that grace and that truth to us. We learned that through Him, that we think about that we should be so grateful to Him. Because God did something for us that we could not do for ourselves. We could not sacrifice and shed our own blood because we're not spotless, were we? Well, the type of sacrifice that God demanded was one that was spotless and without blemish. And His Son was the only one that fulfilled that. And so Jesus Christ went to the cross. He had nails pierced His hands and His feet. And when He gave up that last breath of life and said, "It is finished," the tip of a spear pierced his ribs and up to his heart. And what came forth there was blood and mingled with water. And so it was fulfilled. What he came to accomplish in his death was fulfilled. There was yet a resurrection that needed to take place. But this was all part of God's love, part of God's mercy, part of God's grace. And we have it today because of his word. Are you grateful for the Son of God? Who, according to 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, is an advocate for us and also a propitiation. That propitiation was given to appease the wrath of God. That propitiation was given, that sacrifice was given so that we could have fellowship with God. And when I think about that, then I have to ask the question, am I also grateful for the resurrection that gives us the hope of a resurrection to newness of life? See, the resurrection of Jesus Christ showed and proved him to be the Son of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. But it was that victory over death, that victory over Satan, that gives us and provides us hope. A reason to be thankful. There is a resurrection in baptism that allows us to walk in newness of life. And once we experience that baptism for the remission of sin and we rise to walk in newness of life, we become new creatures in Christ. We put on Christ. We're now in fellowship with God and His Son. And if we remain faithful till death, then what we can do is experience that last great resurrection to eternal life. There's reason to be thankful in our lives, isn't there? So many reasons. And so are you grateful? I don't know about you. You know, some families practice the tradition as they sit around the Thanksgiving dinner of expressing, each individual might express one thing that they're grateful for. But are you grateful for all the spiritual blessings that you have in Jesus Christ? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Those blessings that come through Jesus Christ in the heavenly places. Are you grateful for those types of things? Again, spiritual blessings, we lose sight of those sometimes because all we think about are the physical blessings we have. We think about our homes, we think about our cars, we think about the money we have in the bank, the food that we have in our cabinets and our refrigerators. But the greatest spiritual blessing that God ever gave us was His Son. In John chapter 6, Jesus described Himself as the manna that came down from heaven. It's that manna that provides eternal life. There was a distinction that was made there in John chapter 6 between the manna of the wilderness and the manna that came at Jesus being the bread of life. And Jesus was quick to point out that those that ate the manna in the wilderness, they died. But everyone that partakes of this manna that has come down from heaven, His flesh, His blood, can live eternally. They have to be in fellowship with Him in order to accomplish that. Are you grateful then for that hope that you have of eternally living with God? I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 14. It'd be real easy to quote this, but I want to read it instead so that I don't mess up quoting it. But you look at the first three verses. The encouragement there from Jesus is to not be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The greatest blessing that we will ever receive comes at the end of what we know as time. It's to be able to live eternally with our Creator, who loved us so much that He sent His Son into the world, who showed us mercy and grace that we did not deserve, and gave us His inspired Word so that we can seek Him and find Him today, so that we can know what we need to do to have fellowship with Him. And so you may be thankful for a lot of different things in your life, but are you letting God know daily how thankful you are for what He's done for you? Are you thankful for that great sacrifice? Are you thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ? Because it alone washes away our sins. And if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you can act on that faith today, and you can be thankful that He died and demonstrate that thankfulness by repenting of your sins, confessing Him before men, and being baptized for the remission of those sins. Or, if you're a child of God, are you a grateful servant of God? Are you still in fellowship with Him, or has fellowship been broken? Reconcile your life to Him today. He is faithful and just to forgive that unrighteousness if you confess your sin to Him. We stand ready to assist you however we can this morning. So have you told God lately how truly thankful you are? If you haven't, start today and make it a daily quest to make sure God never goes without hearing that you are grateful for everything that He's done for you in your life. But if you're subject to the Lord's invitation today, show Him that gratitude right now in obedience to His gospel. Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus.